Most rock groups go through personnel changes at least once in their history. The Beatles did, so have the Rolling Stones. Rock and roll historian Ed Ward recalls the many musicians who spun through the British group, the Yardbirds. Some of them went on to further fame and fortune.
Good evening, and welcome, and now it is time for Birdmerizing, Yardmerizing, in fact, most blues-wearing Yardbirds. Here they are, one by one. The drums, Jim McCarty. The rhythm guitar, Chris Dreyer. The bass, Paul Samuel Smith. Lead guitar, Eric Slohan Clapton. The singer and harp, Keith Rowe.
It was a Friday night, sometime in 1964. While the kids in America dreamed their confused dreams of the Beatles ruling London, the hip kids in London were all wishing they could be at the famous Marquee Club. There, the Yardbirds, featuring the finest guitar player of all time, Eric Slohan Clapton, played every Friday. Of all the young London bands playing Chicago-style blues, the Yardbirds were the tops. Thanks to Clapton's blues mania, they were more serious about the music than the Rolling Stones. And also thanks to him, they were more technically accomplished than anybody else in town. Manager, Giorgio Gomelski, had other ideas, though. Pop songs, that was what was making money, and as soon as they recorded one, he was proven right. For Your Love had two immediate effects. First, it put the band into the top 10 here and in England, and second, it disgusted blues purist Clapton so much that he quit the group. Gomelski didn't care. He had another flash guitarist waiting in the wings, the heir to a British banana importing fortune named Jeff Beck. This lineup got the band through 1965 and 66 and gave the fans another guitar god to worship. But nobody could have predicted the amazing turn of events that was just around the corner. Bassist Paul Samuel Smith quit in early 66 to become a record producer, and Gomelski hired a studio player, Jimmy Page, who'd recorded on some early Kinks records, to replace him. Page wanted adventure, and he got it in September when Beck got sick and had to cancel some gigs. Guitarist Chris Dreyer switched to bass, and when Beck came back, he and Page started trading licks, and guitar fans were in heaven. If that sounds familiar, it's because it's from the soundtrack of the film Blow Up, the only recording of the raw blues this lineup of the band was famous for playing. Gomelski, you see, wanted pop music. So here's what this legendary outfit recorded for him.
Dreaming always.
It all fell apart in November 1966 as the band toured America. Rich Kid Beck claimed to be sick and flew back home. Now the band belonged to Page, but here's the weird part. Although the Yardbirds lasted another 18 months, they only recorded four singles, all of them stupid pop songs with little or no guitar in them. The band was great live, but you'd never know it from the singles. They were also getting tired of Page, and one by one they found other work. But on one last tour of the States, Page gave a hint of what his new band, which he was calling the New Yardbirds, would sound like. Ironically, the live album on which this appears was suppressed by various legal actions as soon as it appeared.
I'm being confused, did it stay or did it go? I'm being abused and I think I should go. Come on, baby, I'm starting to crack. You're out to get me, you're on the right track.
At least with Led Zeppelin, Jimmy Page would get to play as much guitar as he wanted.
Ed Ward is co-author of Rock of Ages, The Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll.